This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 375. Three strategies to be a more efficient English learner with teacher Derek.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, where you'll finally get real native English conversation and fluency for business and life. We believe in connection, not perfection, when it comes to learning English. Now, here are your hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Boston and New York City, USA.
We have a guest on the show today. Our guest today was born and raised in the state of Colorado in the U.S. He has studied astronomy and physics and is a nomad, having lived in Rio de Janeiro, Colombia, Europe, Mexico, and even Memphis, Tennessee. Our guest today is Derek DeSantis. Let's welcome Derek to the show. In today's episode, you'll get three key tactics that you can use to become a more efficient and effective learner of English.
This podcast is sponsored by Indeed. As a business owner myself, I've learned that the most important key to success is having a great team. But it can be time-consuming, reading through tons of resumes. Need to hire a great candidate at your company? Why not eliminate the busy work? Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so that you can connect with candidates faster. Just in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AEE. Just go to Indeed.com/AEE right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/AEE. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, Derek, welcome to All Ears English. Thanks for coming on the show today. How you doing?
Hey, Lindsay, thanks a lot for having me. I'm doing quite well. Yourself?
Excellent, excellent. Where are you now? You're recording from a different part of the world. Where are you located?
Right now, I'm in Mexico, Puerto Escondido.
Wow. Are you working on your Spanish down there?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Very cool. Well, I'm excited that you're on our show today, Derek, because you are going to let our listeners know three ways that they can become more efficient English learners. And we know that these days we are all busy and we really want to just cut to the chase. We really want to get the value as quickly as we can. So what is that first tip that you have for us today, Derek, in terms of how our listeners can become more efficient learners?
Well, I think first, people really need to learn how to self-correct when they're speaking. This is the best way to advance your speaking abilities while focusing both on fluency and accuracy, okay? Because many people will just be so concerned with accuracy that they speak word by word by word, and they never make an error as far as they know.
Now, right.
Yeah, so it takes a long time, and then they'll find that, you know, if they're talking to a native speaker or somebody else, they're going to start finishing their sentences for them.
Now, right.
Yeah, and then on the other end, there's the people that are completely fluent, but they're not thinking about what they're saying, and they make tons of grammar mistakes, even though they know this grammar, right?
Right.
So we have to get somewhere in the middle, and when you get to that point, basically you're speaking to the point where you're making mistakes, but the mistakes that you know, you're correcting yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
Go back
yeah.
and correct them. The only time I wouldn't self-correct is if I'm in a very important situation, maybe in business or something. They're going to understand. But take every chance you have to speak English as a learning experience.
Okay. Okay, so when you say self-correct, you mean actually in the conversation, go back and repeat it correctly to the person you're speaking with, right? You're not talking about correcting in your mind or writing it down correctly. You're talking about live in conversation, going back and correcting your mistake, right?
Exactly, exactly. I do this every time I'm speaking another language. If I'm speaking with my friends or if I'm speaking with a teacher, it doesn't matter. I'll go back and I'll correct myself. Because once you get that correction in, you make the mistake and you make the correction, it sticks in your mind a little bit easier. And it really helps you advance a lot faster than if you go with one side or the other.
Ooh, that's interesting. This is a good idea. It's something new that I haven't heard a lot about before. But I think what ends up happening with a lot of students who have been speaking English for years but have been making the same mistakes is that they kind of solidify those mistakes because they don't go back and self-correct as you're suggesting, right?
Exactly, exactly. After you form a habit, it's terribly difficult to break. I mean, it'll take weeks Well, it took me, at least, about 2 weeks to change a habit that I'd formed in a language. And that's if I was speaking it every day.
Yeah, so you have to use that additional burst of energy to change, to undo that kind of new neural pathway that you're forming that's the incorrect form of the word, right?
Exactly.
And go back and make it correct. I like it. I like it, Derek. Thank you for that. How about number two? What would be the second way that our listeners can become more efficient learners or English speakers?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. This is something I'm guilty of. From time to time. Now, this is, don't pretend that you know everything. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is, if you have, you know, maybe 80% or 90% sure that you know what somebody is talking about, but there's a little bit of doubt, ask, because you might actually learn a little bit more about the language. For example, in an idiom, you'll find out where it comes from and what all the words mean. And so you might understand maybe from context, but sometimes I also have students that think they understand a word, but it translates completely differently.
Oh, I like it. So don't pretend that you understand everything when you actually don't. I mean, this is kind of a nerve for our listener. We're hitting a nerve here because we feel like often when we make a mistake that something's wrong with us or that we don't understand something, it must be our fault, right? But sometimes maybe the speaker just hasn't been very clear, right?
That's right, yeah. Exactly.
So what kind of phrases could our listeners use to kind of go back and try to make sure that they understood or check to see if they understood? I mean, what could they say?
Well, they could say, for example, oh, excuse me, let me see if I have this, and then try to rephrase the sentence or something like that. Or you could just be very direct and straightforward and say, I'm sorry, could you explain that a little bit more? I mean,
Right. And that first phrase that you said, let me make sure that I, can you say it one more time?
Uh-huh.
The first phrase you said. Yeah.
Let me make sure I have that correct.
I have that correct. Right. Let me check to see if I understood that. Right. There are a lot of things we could say, but the point is moving to that next level where we're stepping into our power and we're saying, hey, I don't think I got that. Would you mind repeating or would you mind saying that again? I mean, we have every right to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Especially when you're in a class. You don't have to impress your teacher. Actually, most teachers will be impressed if you start asking them questions because many people want to pretend that they're smart and they want to prove themselves to their teacher. But teachers love it when you ask them questions. They feel like you're really learning that way.
No, that's true. And I know I'm guilty of this too, right? I spent a year in Latin America and I was learning Spanish and I know that I was in some situations where, you know, social situations like parties where they were saying something and I thought, oh yes, I understand. And then all of a sudden they're laughing and I have no idea why.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm the butt of the joke, right? So
yes,
it can turn into, you can end up in a really bad situation or a funny situation, but a humiliating situation if you do let yourself do that often by pretending that you know what they're talking about when you in fact don't. So good advice, Derek.
All right.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay, Derek, so what would you say is the third thing that we can do to be efficient English learners? What can we do?
Yeah, well, I think the important thing to do is study the types of mistakes that you make. Okay, so when you make a mistake, you can do one thing. You can just look at it, correct in that instance, and move on. Or you can actually look at it and try to relate it to a wider area of study. Now, you could even use this to, you know, point you in the right direction for self-study and, you know, work on this, and then you'll become more of a master in that area, at least.
I see. But how do we prioritize the mistakes? I mean, that's something that I find might be hard for our listeners to do on their own. How do they know which mistakes to really start to focus on, right? We're paying attention to the patterns, right? What are the patterns that we're making? And then which patterns should we pursue and follow and try to fix permanently?
Yeah, well, it's important to know the difference between a kind of a random error and a systematic error.
Okay.
So, like, a systematic error is going to be something where you don't understand the grammar for some reason or another, and you keep making the same error in various different phrases. Now,
yeah.
A random error is something like a preposition. You use the wrong preposition in some place, and that's just something you have to memorize, right?
Yeah, so, that's a good point. Yeah.
So with these random errors, you memorize them basically like vocabulary. With the systematic errors, you can actually study those and get that really ingrained into your instinct for language speaking. And then that will fix that whole problem all at once.
Ooh, I like it. I think one of the mistakes that students tend to make on their own is that they'll try to attack all the errors at the same time, right? The random errors and the systematic errors, and it ends up being overwhelming,
yeah.
Right? We get discouraged. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If I have a problem with, for example, grammar when I'm learning Spanish or something, I try to focus on one grammar point for like a week or so and try to get that as solid as I can, and then I'll move on to another grammar point, even though I know I'm you know, deficient in other areas, but I try to focus on one for a little while and then move on to something else.
I think that's a really good idea. And, you know, this is a lot to ask for our listeners to do on their own. So this is something where we would recommend actually working with a teacher, because it just kind of shortens the learning curve. It makes it easier that a teacher can sit down and help you figure out which are the random errors and which are the systematic errors and where to actually spend your time, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I know that you're a teacher on iTalki, and your profile actually caught my eye, Derek, because you have a class called All the Important English. Now, what's that about? What's that class about?
Well, it's basically I use these type of techniques to build fluency, accuracy. We try to do things in like a no-nonsense type of way.
And, I like
and,
that.
Really make things simple for the student. And while we're doing this, of course, we try to make it fun. Otherwise, it's not going to be interesting, and people aren't going to want to continue learning, right?
That's right. And these days, people are interested in learning what matters to them, the English that matters to them. So all the important English in a no-nonsense way does make sense, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as I was saying, with this, we work with the correction methods I use work with these ideas. For example, I take notes during these sessions, and at the end we do a correction session, so you can actually look at the mistakes that you were making, and I'll show you which ones that you can use to build your grammar and things of that sort, and other things that are going to be random mistakes.
I see. So you don't interrupt the flow of the conversation. Instead, at the end, you have all the corrections that come up later so that people don't get paralyzed with mistakes and they're able to continue speaking. And at the end, you make sure to address them and go back and take a look at what happened.
Exactly. And then
during
the course of the lesson, if I know the student knows the mistake they make, then I'll give them either some passive correction and just echo and repeat it in a correct way, or I'll stop them and say, you know this, come on, you can do that. So this way they don't go too far into the fluency area, right?
I like that. Well, so guys, if you want to kind of shorten your learning curve here, and today we've given you three key ways to be a more efficient learner, so I'm just going to repeat what Derek told us today. You talked about learning how to self-correct. That's really interesting, and that's important. Number two was you said don't pretend that you know everything, because you can really get yourself in trouble. And number three was pay attention to the types of mistakes that you make. Start to look at those random errors and those systematic errors and see which ones you want to address. So guys, if you want to work with Derek in his class, class, All the Important English, or another one of his classes, you can work with him on iTalki. But the first step to work with him is to register on our landing page called allearsenglish.com/ITALKI. And then we want to go and find Derek's profile. So Derek, how could our listeners find you after they've registered at allearsenglish.com/ITALKI? Where can they find you?
Yeah, well, I'm listed as Teacher Depiel. Okay, Depiel is
Depiel. Can you spell that for us?
Depiel. Yeah, it's a nickname of mine, so it's quite useful.
Okay, so it's Teacher Depiel, right?
Exactly.
Okay, and that's, we should type that into the search bar, is that right?
That should work for you.
Okay, perfect. So we want to encourage our listeners to go over there and check out Derek's class if you guys want a little bit more help on becoming a more efficient English learner. Very cool. So Derek, thanks for joining us today. I'm glad you're able to make the time to come on the show.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And have a good day.
Likewise.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, follow our show wherever you listen to podcasts to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.